Ross, Carlton on Sunday, the Blues have been pretty impressive, especially in the last month, haven't they?
Yeah, they have. They win a really tight tussle with St Kilda, who are in good form, and we know they're really well organised, really well coached, and they've got some really high-end quality players. So, and where we're at, we're just on a continuum, or we want to be on a continuum of growth. So we see it as an opportunity to improve our football every week, and that'll be the focus this week. So we obviously did a lot right for three quarters. We thought we played in the manner and competed in the manner we wanted to, but the last quarter we lost our way. So, but then we still did enough at the end to get it done. So there's a lot of lessons there, and we're quite vibrant, we're quite enthusiastic, and we need to continue to train hard Monday to Friday. So really, still currently, it's about ourselves. I haven't got the Carlton yet. We just finished our last bit of the review this morning, and you know, we'll get through the week, we'll pick a team, and we'll aim to improve.
Ross, what were the reasons why you lost your way, you think, in that final term after we went so well?
Yeah, look, it's a good question. Momentum shifts. It's a really good question. Look, there's some technicalities, some mechanics, and look, you've got to give a lot of credit to Richmond. You know, the good players really got to work. Martin and Rewild and those sort of guys, so McCutcheon and you know, at this level you don't need to do much wrong. We made a few errors on positioning and allowed them some easy access to their goals. So look, it's certainly manageable, but that we had some opportunities. We thought we just could have used the ball, composed ourselves a little bit, you know. So yeah, there was just some simple things, but in the end we got it done, you know.
Ross, the term momentum, I mean, it's an interesting one. How do you get it and how do you stop it when it's going against you as well?
Yeah, well, momentum is more players on the field playing well compared to their opponents. So it's a weight of numbers exercise, and how you get it back is you've got to fight for your position back and to wrestle back and get some equilibrium in the game. It's as simple as that.
Is it the hardest thing in football to stop once it's against you?
Yeah, it's very difficult. It's very difficult. The other team gets some real... Everyone's always giving their best, but sometimes when it all comes together, it's a real force, you know. And look, Richmond have been capable of that all year. We've had quarters like that. Richmond did it against Melbourne in the last quarter. We've done it against North Melbourne in the last quarter, against Essendon. So it does happen, and that's not a perfect explanation, but sometimes as simple as you're beating your opponent and you've got more players beating their opponent and winning their position than the opposition have. So,
have you ever seen a season like this, Ross, where it's been so week to week with what's happening in relation to wins and losses of clubs?
Yeah. Well, that's the design of the competition, isn't it? Which is really healthy for everyone involved. And I mean, in the old VFL, there was only four clubs that could win the premiership, so that's not what we're after. And the AFL's done a wonderful job of spreading the resources and making clubs viable, and all the mechanisms have kicked in to make it really even. So I think that's a wonderful thing for the competition.
Stephen Hill and Valentine, what are their chances of returning this week?
They've got to get through the week to, currently they're on target to be available to play football. Where they play, we'll make those decisions as it comes to hand, really.
Yeah, Kim Ballantyne's missed a lot longer than Hill. Is he more likely, if he does play, to go perhaps back to the Wallabies?
Yeah, look, we'll consider it. We've got to get through. Anything could happen in the next two sessions. So, but logic would dictate Stephen's a bit more advanced on the whole year than Hayden is. So, but none of them are certain he's to come back.
What are Brady Gray's chances of getting up this week from that shoulder?
Yeah, like really good. Really good. Yeah, it'd take Sherman Tank to stop him, I would think. So, again, he probably won't train today. Get a slight sublux, but people play with him all the time. They strap him up, and as long as your strength's okay, you tend to be fine. So, yeah, I would think he's knocking on my door saying I'm playing.
Players do carry injuries all the time, but is he one that would probably almost relish that challenge as well? He seems that he thrives on that physical element of the game.
Yeah, it's a good observation. He's a real competitor. He's very physical. Players that invest a lot don't tend to surrender easily. So he's one that's had to fight his way and he's invested a lot. So, like anyone, when you invest a lot, you don't tend to give up really quickly.
Do you, given Michael Walter's performance over the last few weeks, does he play majority midfield on the weekend?
Yeah, we'll probably continue in that vein, but it gives us opportunities to push Nathan forward more consistently and David Mundy, so we like that. But again, the challenge is, just because he played well last week doesn't mean he'll play well this week. We need him to, but he's playing well, comes from preparation, so he'll get more attention than he's got. But we expect him to work through that and stay focused. And none of us are where we want to be at. So we need to keep improving, because you saw early in the year when individuals were not playing well and collectively, that we can become ordinary quickly. So, and we saw that within the game. So we just don't push them down the race. We've got to work hard at our football.
You talk about improvement, Ross. What's the major focus for you? You've been playing pretty good footy at the moment, 5 wins out of the last 6.
Yeah, but even within the wins, we haven't put together 4 full quarters of football. So it's consistency, and so clearly our Monday to Friday, somewhere we need to get a bit more consistent, because how you prepare is how you play, and maybe it's reflective of a young group, a number of players under 30 games. It's been averaging around 8 or 10 of those guys, so it might be simply that. But we'd like not to use the birth certificate as an excuse. We'd like to build on our mental toughness and be able to produce 4 quarters.
Ross, you talk about preparation. A high like that after that game, do you let them ride that through the week, or do you Monday tell them, nah, it's back to business?
Yeah, we'd like to think we're really consistent, win or lose. Every week's a grand final. So if you don't treat them like grand finals, you don't get there. So our preparation is consistent. We'd like to think sometimes when you don't play as well as you wanted, there's probably more clips where they need to say they improve. So it's probably a different balance of clips going at them. But there tends to be a natural vibrancy. We talk about confidence, gets thrown around a lot. If you're getting the result you want, it's telling you your preparation, your actions are what are needed, and that's where confidence comes from. So we're feeling better about ourselves because what we're asking them to do and they're doing and working together, we're getting a result. So that fuels the belief. So there's no high in here. There's an understanding of the last quarter was very sobering for all involved. So, there's no regulation needed. We're pretty squarely focused on the job at hand.
Sledging has been a big topic in the AFL this week. How do you approach it in Sunday's game?
Yeah, I was asked about it earlier in the week. Our players don't live in a bubble. They would have heard the commentary. Maybe they had the contact from the Players Association. At the end of the day, we all know what right from wrong is, and it's not win at any cost, and we'd like to set a high standard that's then reflected in the rest of the community. If there's inappropriate behaviour at the AFL level from coaches and players, you'll see it at the junior levels and the minor competition. So we want to set a high standard, and you've got to be mindful of the boundaries out there, because there are boundaries.
Ross, has it got to a stage now where you just don't talk to an opposition player during the course of a match?
Yeah, look, it's really difficult for me. I retired in 1995, so the rough maths, that's 22 years. That's almost my silver jubilee coming up. So I don't know what they talk about. Players seem to be friendlier than they've ever been. They're pretty good at shaking hands and hugging each other and high-fiving at the end of the game. So I would have thought it's not too fierce out there. I'm not too sure.
Ross, you had the meeting with Harley yesterday. What was his mindset coming out of that?
Yeah, look, really simply what I'll say about Harley is that he wants to play good football and he wants to get going, and really simply we've challenged the behaviour, we've imposed a sanction, and we've mapped out a way forward, and I think that answers all questions that might potentially come up to your one.
Is his map out to maybe play Peel in about 4 or 5 weeks, Ross? Is that part of the plan?
Yeah, that's the aim.
Where's he at, Ross, at the moment with his training? Is he on the track?
Yeah, he ran yesterday. He'll be running every second day. And he's on a program. He's in the gym as we speak, working out. And, yeah, so he's on a program that should see him play in that 5-week period.
So he's building up to sprinting still?
Yeah.
Yeah.
In terms of support, obviously, yourself, you've been very supportive, so too has the club. Does Harley realise how supportive the Fremantle Football Club has been to him?
I would think so, yeah.
And just, I mean, in terms of Saturday's incidents, his behaviour, obviously, that was the issue. But was he intoxicated on Saturday afternoon at all?
Yeah, really simply, I feel like we've answered your question. We've challenged the behaviour, we've sanctioned Harley, and we've mapped out a way forward, and that's all the detail you really need.
So probably the onus is on me here, but I'm clearly not clear on it, but was he drinking alcohol at all on Saturday?
Well, I think it's a moot point, because we've dealt with it and we've moved on, and what we see is possibility mindset. We've imposed a sanction. Clearly there was some behaviour there that we didn't view as appropriate, but that's between Harley and ourselves. I mean, everyone can make their own assertions from what they saw.
Have you placed an alcohol ban or anything like that?
I never ban or fine people. Never.
Do you have a rock-solid policy on alcohol for injured players, Ross? I think Shane Kirsten said yesterday it's case to case.
Yeah, I think Shane Kirsten was right. It's case to case.
In Harley's case, is his situation now following the meeting, is that a situation where alcohol was addressed in terms of maybe him not drinking during rehabilitation phases?
We had a wide-ranging discussion, but really we've released a club statement from the CEO, so there's things that go beyond me. So Steve Rosich has released a statement in conjunction with Chris Bond. So again, we've challenged the behaviour. We've acknowledged that Harley's been through a fair bit over 18 months and he needs to reboot and recommit and refocus, and we're confident he'll do that. Because we don't want to lose another great Indigenous talent to the game. Because we're all under a lot of scrutiny, but everyone's got a breaking point. So sometimes the scrutiny becomes too much. So I think we all need to respect that.